If you'll open your Bibles to the book of Romans, Romans chapter 15. Just to have that closer walk with Him, what a joy, what a thrill it is. It's always exciting as you walk with God and get close to Him to feel His power and His presence, and then let Him just open your eyes that you might see His beauty and have the assurance that is there. Romans chapter 15, and we want to look at verse 13. Romans 15 and verse 13. As we observe what's going on in our world today, not just in other parts of the world, of the turmoil that's going on, of the danger and the wars that are happening, of the persecution of those who are claiming the name of Jesus, but even here in this great nation of ours. As we look at what's happening, as children of God, we can look up because God gives us hope. Notice this in verse 13 of Romans chapter 15. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. This verse is filled with key words that are exciting. First of all, in that first part of it, says the God of hope. And that's the God we have. And praise God for that. Only He can give us true hope and assurance of what's in the future and what comes down the line. And then He says the God of hope fill you. I like that word, fill you. It's not partly, but it's just to fill us up with all joy and peace, not just some of it. God does a complete job in whatever He's doing. That's exciting to me and a blessing. And then He says that in believing, this is available not just to those who might go through extensive study of the Word of God. This is just not to those who maybe been in church for years. This is for anyone and everyone simply by believing God's holy word. A child can believe. And children believe. Adults can believe. We experience believe all areas of our life. And then it says that ye may abound in hope. God's not a God of a little hope, but we can abound in the hope of God. What a blessing that is. And then He concludes this passage with, God does with, through the power of the Holy Ghost, the assurance we have. Now, as we think about hope tonight and want to focus your attention on that, I want you to turn to Psalms 119, Psalms 119, and verse 114. This 119th Psalm is a fantastic book that God has for us, and the chapter here has so much in it, you could spend all of eternity just gleaning the blessings from this. But Psalms chapter 119 and verse 114, as we think about hope, it says in verse 114 of Psalms 119, Thou art my hiding place and my shield. I hope in Thy word. You see, our hope comes from the Word of God. And we can have hope in God's Word. Then in verse 116 of this Psalm, just a couple of verses down, Uphold me according unto thy word, that I may live, and let me not be ashamed of my hope. I tell you, to have hope in the Word of God, to trust God's Word, you'll never be ashamed. I've had people try to make me ashamed, but never could do that. The joy, the excitement, the thrill of knowing that the Bible is not man's word, but it's God's holy divine word. And there we have the power and the source of our hope, and we can be assured of that. There's a saying that has gone around for years. It goes, God said it, that settles it. And I've always added to it, God said it, that settles it, and you better believe it. But then I want to add another phrase to that. God said it. That settles it. It will happen. Did you get that? It will happen. That's why we can have hope in God's word. Look at Isaiah 55. Isaiah chapter 55 and verse 11. Isaiah chapter 55 and verse 11. God gives us the assurance of his word. His word is true. His word is accurate. We can have assurance of that, and we can have hope in that his word will accomplish what he says, and it will come to pass. Isaiah chapter 55 and verse 11. In Isaiah 55 and verse 11, God says, "So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the things whereinto I sent it." God said it. That settles it. It will happen. You can count on that. Man, what a hope we can have in knowing that God's word will come to pass. Not one jot, Jesus said, or one tittle, not one crossing of the T or the dotting of the I or comma will pass away or fail until it's all fulfilled. Oh, the hope that we can have in God's holy word, and to help us and to give us something to live by day, and help us to get through all of the problems and difficulties that come our way. Look at Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1. Now, as we think about hope, normally we go to Hebrews chapter 11 and we talk about faith. And faith is so important. My, how important faith is. But I want you to see what faith really does with hope. Now, hope is expecting something to happen that is good. I looked at many definitions of hope, and this one really, I think, just brought it out as to what God tells us about hope. Let me say it again. Hope is expecting something to happen that is good. When you read God's word, it tells you what's going to happen, and we know it's going to be good. And then, as we think about hope, something that is in the future that we have not experienced, but we hope, we know it will be, because we have hope in God. And so now in Hebrews chapter 11, notice now verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, and the evidence of things not seen. Think about that. I've got hope in God's word. I might not understand it, and I might not figure out how in the world it will come about and how it will be done. But when I have faith in God, then that hope is not just an imagination of my mind. That hope is not just a daydream. With faith, that hope has substance. Notice that again. It says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So as I realize and I can abound in the hope that God has for me in his word, by faith it becomes a reality in my life. Man, that's joy. As we see all of the problems and the things that's going on, and we wonder how in the world we're going to make it and get through it, our hope is in God and in his word. We know he will. And our faith in trusting in God gives us that substance of assurance, and we just go to bank on him. What a blessing it is in them. We find in Hebrews chapter 6, Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 18, as we think about hope and abounding in hope, hope in the word of God. Man, I don't know how people can get by without reading God's word. And sometimes some of you might just read it once a day, and then sometimes it might be once a week or once a month. You're missing out on a world of blessings. Man, it's something that I want to dwell in all the time and enjoy, because the more I know of God's word, it does two things. One, it increases my faith, and then I can have hope and have substance with that faith that is there. And so in Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 18, by two innumerable things, it in which it was impossible for God to lie, that we might have a strong consolation, who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. Now get the message that is there. God cannot lie. So his word will be complete. What he says will come pass because he cannot lie. And here we have hope in the fact that God does not lie. Therefore, verse 19, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil. Oh, what a blessing it is to have that assurance, a hope that is an anchor. And as we see things change, I've shared with you before, my major in college was math. And I thought that was something that, you know, that's fact right there. You can't argue with math. And then I've become to realize as the more I got into it that math is an act of faith. Depends on what base you're talking about. Base 10, base 2. Some people say, what in the world do you mean a base in that? Many of you, we operate with base 10. We go count 1 to 10, then we start over again. Count another 10. We make that into the teens and 20s and 30s and so on. But it's all on base 10. But base 2 is what our computers operate on in that. And I found out that math is a matter of faith, depending on which assumption you have and which base you're in. And that began to shake my foundation. And then I was taught in high school that if you quoted a history book, that was fact. Come to find out later on then that that was just one man's view of history, and you could find a whole number of historians that all of them have different views of the same event. And that my foundation began to shake some more. And began to, where in the world can I have a solid foundation? Well, I have an anchor that's solid. All the other grounds and the things that might go on and what people think are good, that's going to fade away, but my anchor will hold. It'll just be like sand, but my anchor is whole. It's on the solid rock. It's the hope in our Lord and Savior and our Heavenly Father in His holy word, and we have an anchor of the soul. And we have that assurance knowing what God will do for us. Our soul is secure in Him. In Hebrews chapter 7, Hebrews chapter 7 and verse 24, Hebrews chapter 7 and verse 24, talking about Jesus, this man, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercessions for them. The devil likes to play with our minds and accuse us of different things and get us to find or to feel guilty about things, and rightly so. And the Holy Spirit also will make us feel guilty of the sins that we've committed, but praise God, we can come to God in repentance, and there we can find forgiveness through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. And how that here, because Jesus died for us, was buried and raised again the third day, he is eternal, always has been, always will be. And even though he came in the flesh, but he conquered death in the flesh, that we can have hope. His priesthood is everlasting and never changes. And then in verse 25, he says, wherefore he is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercessions for us. Regardless of what the devil might do before the Father and accusing us, Jesus is there to intercede for us. Man, that's hope. That's assurance. That's an anchor that we have. And then we find in Titus chapter 3 and verse 4, Titus chapter 3, Titus chapter 3, just back up from the book of Hebrews, in the New Testament, the books that start with a T are just before the book of Hebrews. So if you're having a time finding those, just remember that. And Titus chapter 3. Notice Titus chapter 3 and verse 4. Here the Bible tells us, after that the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior. that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. I don't have hope in temporary life. I don't have hope in whether or not I can hold on or whether or not I can be faithful all the way through. I have hope in eternal life through the marvelous grace of our God through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Now, I want to tell you something, brother, and that removes a lot of fears and doubts. That's a hope that anchors your soul and makes it steadfast. And what a joy it is and what a privilege. In this day and age we're living in, we need that hope. This world needs that hope. We find, and you've already seen on the news just recently, of one who have committed suicide. And this is going on that we don't hear about quite a bit. Why are people doing that? They have no hope. They've lost hope. But you see, every one of us can have hope that endures and helps us through any crisis that is there. Notice, if you will, in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, and beginning with verse 16, as we see the hope of grace. Now remember, the word grace means unmerited favor. We do not deserve what God has for us. I mean, this is something that God gives us, regardless of who we are or what we are, of that marvelous grace. So in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 16, now our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God, even our Father, which hath loved us and hath given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace, comfort our hearts and establish you in every good work or word and work. And what a blessing that is. Good hope through grace. What a marvelous thing. When we talk about grace, I have to turn to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. Many of you can quote this, but I just want to bring it to your attention again as we realize the hope we have that comes by grace and of our eternal life. In Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8, for by grace are you saved through faith. That faith makes it a reality. Let me read it again. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. My, what a hope we can have. Knowing it's of God's marvelous grace, of the things that he promises, of the things that we know that he says will do, will come about, all because of his grace and his love to us. And then notice in 1 Peter chapter 1, 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 13. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 13. Here again we find assurance of the hope that God has given us in this, and this is the hope of the coming of our Lord and Savior, which is a reality. Just as real as we're sitting here right now. And 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13. The Bible tells us, wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Did you get all those words that are there? Gird up your mind. Don't let it have those doubts. You can be settled in this thing and be sober, be serious. This is a reality. This is not something that's just playing around. He says, and hope to the end for the grace that is brought to us at the revelation of Jesus Christ. We have the hope of the coming of our Lord and Savior, and what a hope it is in that God has given us concerning our Lord returning for us. And we find in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 13, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 13, when we talk about the coming of our Lord, this is not talking about the second coming. This is talking about the rapture, where he comes as a thief in the night. This is talking about that no one knows of the day or the hour, but it's a reality. It will happen. It could happen today. It could have happened yesterday, but God delayed that return that another soul might be saved. It can happen this evening. We have that hope and assurance, and of our faith makes it a reality in our lives. And so what happens at that? In 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 13, "But I would not have you ignorant, or to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope." This hope in the coming of our Lord takes the sting out of death. People, I remember the year that our President Kennedy was assassinated. And that same week, one of my church members died of a heart attack. And they had a large family. The children came home from school, and the mother came in and sent the boy out to see where the dad was, and found him out by the tractor where he had stripping some cotton, had some cotton, green cotton bolls, and he was on the ground on his knees scooping those into the tractor where it would take it on up and to be loaded in the trailer on that, and he died of a heart attack. Well, that was on Tuesday. On Wednesday, her and her whole family was in church that Wednesday night. They always sat on the second pew. And here they came in, and they sat on the second pew. Hadn't even had the funeral yet. And the word was all over that small community that he had passed away. One of our dear saints walked up to her and said, "What are you doing here? You ought to be home grieving. You lost your husband." And I was wondering what she was going to say. I was so thrilled of her answer. And she said in very kind words and tender heart, "First of all, I have not lost my husband. I know exactly where he's at. He's with my Heavenly Father in heaven. And the second thing is, my husband's not dead. He just left his clothes here, that flesh, and we're going to put it in a closet, which you call a casket. And then one day, our Lord is coming back, and he'll come back with him. And that casket, that closet will be open, and he'll have his clothes back on." Said, "I don't know of a better place than to come here and praise my Lord for the hope and the assurance I have, and that my husband has taken a trip, a journey, and is coming back." Now, I want to tell you something. That's hope. That's a reality of life. Now, it goes on to say in verse 14, "For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him." Now, Jesus is alive, and he's at the right hand of the Heavenly Father interceding for us, and he's going to bring our loved ones back with him. They're with him there. They're not here. They're not in the graves. That's just their bodies. They're enjoying the blessings of God. What a hope we have. And we have that assurance that they are coming back with him. And verse 16, the Bible tells us, "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first." They're going to come back, and only their graves will be open. The rest of the graves will not be. Only those who have that assurance and hope through the shed blood of our Lord and Savior. And their bodies will come out of that grave like the resurrected body of Christ. Their soul and spirit will receive that body, never to get old again, never to die. They'll go up to the clouds. And then that next verse, verse 17. "Then we," as soon as that happens, it'll happen quicker than you can blink your eye. "Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them." I'm so glad God put that word "them" in there. We're going to be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Now, brethren, that's hope. That's that hope of grace that we have through the blood of our Lord and Savior and through his resurrection. We'll see them. We'll be with them quicker than you can blink your eye. Your body will be changed just like their body was raised, never to get old, never to die again. In Titus chapter 2 and verse 11, Titus chapter 2 and verse 11, the Bible puts it another way concerning the hope of grace in the coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. In Titus chapter 2 and verse 11, the Bible is very clear about this. And the Bible tells us the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope. Isn't that marvelous? Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Regardless of what goes on, I have the assurance by faith, the substance by faith of the hope that I have in God's word that Jesus is coming back for me. And our loved ones coming back, they've just taken a trip, they've got a round trip ticket. Man, that's a blessed hope. Not only that, that the blessed hope is that this will happen before the tribulation period. What a blessing and what assurance we have of the word of God. Then notice in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3. 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1 and look at verse 3. When we think about the hope that we have, abound in this hope. I mean, there's so much. You could just take a good bath in it. You could just jump up and down and run all around. And I mean, it's so marvelous and so precious in this. And then, so in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again into a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Now in that verse 3, that he has, according to his abundant mercy, hath begotten us again into a lively hope. I love that. A lively, a living hope. Not just that one day I'm going to die and go to heaven. I mean a living hope. That means as Jesus was raised. Notice what he says, and he gives us a hint about this. Again into a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Now, I have a hope and the assurance my sins will be forgiven through the death of Jesus on the cross. In the fact that he died for me, he shed his blood for me, and through the blood of Jesus Christ, I am justified, I am cleansed. That's a tremendous hope. And what a wonderful hope. But then I have a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, which means I will live again. Do what you want to this body. Somebody might want to shoot it. Some of you would like to choke me. Do whatever you want to. It doesn't make any difference. Disease can get a hold of it and destroy it. I got news for you. It's going to rise again. I have a lively hope. When you put my body in what you call a coffin, which I call just a closet, as my clothes, that's not the final resting place. That's not the end of me. Well, you see, my soul and spirit's with the Lord, and one day I'm coming back with him. Or if it happens now at the rapture, my body will never be placed in a tomb. It'll be raised. I'm going to have everlasting life with this. Look at Revelation chapter 20 and verse 6. Revelation chapter 20 and verse 6. In Revelation chapter 20 and verse 6, it talks about, again, the final stage of the resurrection of the believers. The believers are raised in three stages. The first one was at the resurrection of Christ, and many of the Old Testament saints were raised with him. The second stage is at the rapture, when all the saints will be raised there, many of them will be. And the final stage is at the second coming of Christ and of the tribulation saints. And then it says in Revelation 20 and verse 6, blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such a second death hath no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. Now, every now and then I think about and see some of our young people and thought about, well, how it was when I was young. And I can barely remember it now. But anyway, I know there was a time back there in that. But then I stopped to think, I don't want to live it over again. I don't think I'd want to go back right now and be a teenager again and have to go all the way through all that I've gone through. I'm thank God I got through it. But then I'm going to live again on this earth, not for 50 years or 79 years or 80 or 100. I'm going to live for 1,000 years on this world before it's destroyed in a resurrected body that cannot die and cannot go. Now, that's a living hope. That's what he's talking about in Peter. He's begotten us again into a lively hope that I'm going to live again with my loved ones and my friends before this old world is destroyed. Then I'm going to live on the new earth for all of eternity because I have everlasting life. Now, that's hope. That'll take me through the storms. That'll take me through the threat upon my life. That'll take me through anything because I have a lively hope in the resurrection of our Lord and Savior. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 51, 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 51, we have a conclusion of this lively hope that we can have in God. And all of this is in God's word. Remember, our hope is in his word, and we know God doesn't lie, and it's going to come to pass. And he said, my word will not return unto me void. And that hope is an anchor for us. We can abound in that hope. And so in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 51, 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 51, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. In other words, we shall not all die, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. That's talking about the rapture. Verse 53, for this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So, when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, that's talking about at our resurrection, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Right now, I have that hope and knowing that I will have the victory over death. But at the rapture, I will stand there in my resurrected body or my transfigured body, and I will declare victory over death. It's not a hope anymore. It's a reality. My faith makes it a reality for me right now, but it will be a physical reality at that point. And then it says in verse 55, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. What a hope we have, an assurance by faith of that hope of God's eternal word, and it will come to pass. It will be a reality in our lives. And then notice, if you will, in Acts chapter 26 and verse 6. Acts 26 and verse 6. Acts 26 and verse 26. Now, this is part of the testimony as Paul was standing before Agrippa and being accused of what he believed and all that was there. And in this, God gives us some understanding about hope. And notice this now in Acts chapter 26 and verse 6. I have this marked in my Bible. And now I stand and am judged for the hope of the promise made of God unto our fathers. He said, they're accusing me of the hope that I have in the promise of God. We can stand on the promises of God. That's our hope. And what a hope that we have. We sung that while ago, standing on the promises of God. What a joy it is. When the clouds get thick, the storms come, and all the problems come, I can stand on the promises of God. That's my hope, my assurance, the joy, the comfort that I have, and it takes me through the storms, whatever kind they might be. And every time old Satan raises his ugly head or sin tries to conquer my life, I can stand on the promises of God and have that assurance and that hope that God's word is eternal. Oh, we might think of the promises of God, and there are many on that. Let me just remind you of a few, and don't turn to it, but in Isaiah 43, 1 through 2, if you're writing, take notes on that. Here God promises that he'll be with us in any circumstance, through the waters, through the fire. He'll never forsake us. Man, what a promise we have in that. And then in 1 Corinthians 10, 13, if you was to read that, you would find in it, it talks about that his grace is sufficient for us. What a promise. And so when it feels like the time, I don't know if I can take another problem. I don't know if I can put my foot in front of another one. If any more tragedy comes, I don't know if I can handle it. I've got news for you. You can have hope and know that you will make it through, for his grace is sufficient for us. What a promise we have. And then in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 16, let's look at that. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 16. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 16. And as we realize the things that happen in our frail life and all that's around us, in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 16, for which cause we faint not. Though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. And you come to a point that I don't know if I can just make it another day. And then you have that strength renewed inside of you and can go on. Verse 17, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding an eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are eternal. Let me read that again. We look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. I think God's word so precious, sometimes I jump ahead of it. That's the joy of the hope we have and the assurance of the promises that we can stand on and that his grace is sufficient for us. And then that we'll not be tempted above what we cannot bear. Sometimes we think we can't bear it, but God's grace takes us through. That's the hope we have. Then look at Malachi. Well, look at Luke. Let's look at Luke chapter 6 and verse 38. This is a tremendous, tremendous promise that is there and is so powerful. That's our hope. We have hope in the promises of God. That's a reality. In Luke chapter 6 and verse 38, Jesus is teaching his disciples to have hope in him and to have hope in God. And he says, give, and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down and shaken together and running over, shall men give into your bosom, for with the same measure that ye meet, with all it shall be measured to you again. Oh, the promise that God says, I'll take care of you. And when you are willing to let my blessings flow through you, you let it go out and touch the lives of others. We have that little deal going on in Channel 4 of paying it forward. And they find someone that has been giving their life and service, and a friend has recommended them. And then because of this program put on by a bank, they go out and give them $400. You know, just, and they're not expecting that whatsoever. They didn't do it for that, but just in serving God. God is more gracious than that. We have that promise. As we share with others, as we give to God and to his ministry, we cannot outgive God. Look at Malachi, the last book of the Old Testament. Malachi chapter 3. Malachi chapter 3 and verse 10. In Malachi chapter 3 and verse 10. What a promise that we have and we can stand on. Down through the years, we've seen this over and over again. And how that we can always have hope in the Word of God. We can have hope in His promises, knowing that God's Word is sure and He doesn't lie. In Malachi chapter 3 and verse 10, God tells us, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house. And prove me now with, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven, and pour ye out a blessing that there shall not be room enough to receive it. I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. He said, prove me. When you will trust me with what is mine, a tithe, he said, I'll open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that there's not room enough to receive it. What assurance we have. Sometimes we wonder, are we going to have enough to take care of our medication, or are we going to take medicine or eat, you know? Which one are we going to do in that? Sometimes we wonder, am I going to have enough for hospitalization or insurance, or what am I going to do? Over and over again, we're wondering about that. God says, trust me. You bring what is mine to me, my tithe, and I'll open the windows of heaven, pour you out a blessing there's not room enough to receive it. These are the hope that we can have of the promises of God. And then I like Romans 8:28. Many of you remember that, but take a look at it again, Romans 8:28, and that you might see exactly what God tells us in this, in Romans 8:28. This is a wonderful promise, and we have hope in the promises of God in Romans 8:28, where the Bible tells us in Romans 8:28, and we know that all things, not some things, we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. What a promise. Many ways of looking at that. One of them is, man, I'm always messing something up, trying to do God's will and mess it up. I don't know about you, but I'm almost a master at messing it up. But you know what? God can take my mess and turn it around and make it come out good. That's hope and assurance. That's a joy and thrill of my soul that is there. So while you're in Romans, go back to our text of Romans 15 and verse 13. Romans 15 and verse 13. Now, after all that's been said, we want to come back to this text and look at it now. In Romans 15:13, now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing. I don't know about you, but brother, and I believe the joy, the peace that I have in my God of hope, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. Abound in hope. There's so much that is there. So precious, such assurance we have. May you abound in the hope. Have you trusted Jesus as your Savior? Do you have a God of hope as your Father? Look at Romans chapter 10 and verse 9. It's very simple. Even a child can understand it. In Romans 10, and this is where our hope begins right here, an assurance. We read earlier that those who do not believe in Jesus have no hope. And at the time of the parting of their loved one, they sorrow greatly, and that's the end for them. But we who are children of God, we have that hope and know that's not the end, but we shall see him again. And on we go. So in Romans chapter 10 and verse 8, but what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart, that is the word of faith which we preach. Salvation is right there in your heart, ready for you to exercise. In verse 9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thy heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Are you willing to believe that Jesus was born of a virgin, that he walked in our shoes, lived a sinless life according to the word of God? Are you willing to believe that he was crucified on a cross for your sins and my sins? Are you willing to believe that his blood was shed for the remission of our sins, that he died on the cross? He gave his life for us. Are you willing to believe that he was buried and raised again the third day? If you're willing to believe that, and you're willing to confess your sins, as we read in that verse, and ask God the Father to forgive you and to save you by the blood of Jesus, God said you'd be saved. Verse 10 says, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made to salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Are you abounding in the hope of God? And this day and hour, don't hang your heads down. Don't look for the panic button to push. Don't have to worry about wringing your hands at what's going to do and what's going to happen. You can have hope and assurance that God's in control and we are the blessings of God. May we stand with every head bowed and every eye closed.